When you enter into a real estate transaction, buying or selling, your personal information becomes public record and goes on the internet. That means everyone has access to sensitive personal details about you, from where you live to what you've paid for your home. Well, Chicago Title Land Trust makes it simple and affordable to put an end to all that. Safeguarding your personal information will help protect you from falling victim to identity theft and real estate fraud. Chicago Title Land Trust Company. Protecting your privacy starts here. Call 888-878-7856.
No matter what type of business you're in, having a strong business banking partnership can help your bottom line. I'm Jeff Boundy, president of Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company. We strongly believe that trust, service, and relationship are the cornerstone of a successful business banking partnership. Customers like Dr. Dan Cusis of Core Orthopedics and Sports Medicine agree.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dan Cusis of Core Orthopedics, with locations in Elk Grove Village and Hoffman Estates. As a business owner, I needed a bank that would be able to quickly respond to market opportunities and provide me with sound financial guidance, allowing me the time to focus on the needs of my patients. I have found all of that and more with Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company. By providing Core Orthopedics with a line of credit and construction financing, Cornerstone has proved to be a valuable business partner for our growing practice. That's why since 2007, Cornerstone National Bank has been the bank where we belong.
Thanks, Dr. Cusis. Please visit cornerstonenb.com, where I invite you to give me a call at 847-654-3000 to explore a business banking partnership.
Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I talked to the team yesterday and informed them that we're going to be ending our off-season program a week and a half early. We've really had a phenomenal 9 weeks of virtual learning. They've been really, really, really good, solid weeks. I'm proud of our guys for, you know, for showing up every day. It's all voluntary, and it's we've done a lot. I think right now, emotionally and just there's been a lot, obviously, in the last week and a half. But on top of that, on the football side, we've done a lot mentally to them, and we just think it's with the attendance that we've had, with the players and coaches being very adaptive, it's been different, but they've really responded well to it.
That's Matt Nagy on a conference call yesterday with reporters. And the Bears, as he said, have decided they've accomplished all that they can with their virtual offseason program. And now we presume we'll pick it back up when they can actually see each other and throw footballs around and run into each other. Joining us now on the Altamonte Ford Hotline, Altamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is the man that covers the Bears for The Athletic. He's Kevin Fishbane. He's on Twitter at KFishbane. What's going on, Kevin? How are you, man?
I'm all right, Dan. How you doing?
I'm okay. What do you think went into this decision on Nagy's part? Did they just get to a point of diminishing returns, or did they were they able to work smarter and accomplish more than they thought?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of a mix. You know, I think everybody in the world is trying to adjust to how do we work via Zoom when we're so used to doing these things in person. And the Bears seem to get in a little bit of a rhythm in how they're doing that. And I totally understand this idea of we just can't continue to have these guys sitting and staring at their computers for 2 hours a day when they could be, you know, getting in shape and working on their bodies and getting right, because obviously they're, you know, one of the big things they're missing in addition to on-field reps is being in the weight room and doing conditioning with the Bears strength staff. So, you know, for some of the veterans, it's fine. You know, they know how to get ready. It's, for them, it's actually probably even a benefit to not have to worry about all the practices. But I think for Nagy, you know, it's just like here are a bunch of 20 to 30 year olds who we've been asking them for 9 weeks to spend at least 2 hours of their day staring at Zoom. Let's just end this early and let them go outside and start and get ready for training camp.
We heard Jordan Lucas come out very strongly and talk about what his intentions are going to be when it comes to kneeling and what he's going to do and why he's going to do it and why he feels empowered now. The Bears as a team seem fairly solid on this. It does from what I can hear, it seems like there will be peer pressure to do this, to kneel rather than not.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you and I talked last week about how George McCaskey kind of set the tone with his statement and then Matt Nagy's meeting and what we heard from the players last week. I mean, they're just creating this platform to allow everyone to be comfortable expressing themselves the way they want to express their views. And, you know, the funny thing about Jordan Lucas is that there was an interesting timing situation yesterday. You know, when we talked to Allen Robinson, Danny Trevathan, and Akeem Hicks, you know, that was 2 days before Roger Goodell's Friday night statement that was, you know, pretty stunning for somebody in his position, that it almost seemed like the league is, if not approving, you know, people taking knee during the anthem, encouraging it. And, you know, Jordan Lucas just happened to be, you know, like the first player we talked to since Roger Goodell's statement. So, yeah, I imagine, you know, there's other players who think like him. But I wonder if there's just, you know, him kind of being the one in the news is just a timing situation that we happen to talk to him as the first one since Goodell. But you're right. I think they're comfortable with, you know, the thing with Matt Nagy is he is so hell-bent on let's all do the same thing. You know, and they've been locking arms now for 2 years during the anthem, because they were kind of in that weird spot where they had the Hall of Fame game in 2018 as the first football game on television after all the talk. So they were really under the spotlight. And once you do that once, Dan, you can't really go away from it. So they've just been doing that. But I think it seems like they are leaning in a direction where he's going to have to kind of be flexible and be like, all right, I get it. My hope about doing things as a team, this is still doing things as a team because I'm allowing the whole team to have their opportunity to do what they'd like during the national anthem.
I was a little disappointed in Matt Nagy's answer when he was asked about James Daniels' Twitter. And James Daniels has been one of the catalysts for some change in Iowa. We don't know the extent of the change. We don't know how far they're going to go, how far they should go for complete culture change. And I think it's clear what they should do and have talked about it at length on this show. Doesn't mean they will. But when asked about it, Nagy gave kind of a word salad of an answer about, like, well, yeah, I didn't talk to him about it, and there are some controversial things out there regarding his players and Twitter. I was, for a guy who talks about family and a guy who is, for the most part, has been on the right side of some of this stuff, why can't he just say, our players are adults and citizens and they're entitled to have their opinions on what's going on in the world? Why couldn't it be just cut and dried like that?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dan, on that. And James Daniels really was, like, he got the ball rolling with this, with his one tweet. It's a little nuanced, though, because James Daniels himself hasn't actually tweeted about anything he specifically experienced. So I feel like you have to be very online to understand James Daniels' role. And I can tell you Matt Nagy is the opposite of being very online. Now, obviously, there are people in that building that are, and it's their jobs, and it's their jobs to kind of explain it to them. I'm just wondering, you know, just that if he's the type of guy that has just been so laser focused on everything else, that this was something that might be a little over his head in some ways of that. But yeah, you would hope that there would have been just a basic, hey, we support him in whatever he's doing to express these views. And I imagine if he learns more about it, from everything we've heard from Matt Nagy, I'm sure he's fine with it. But I am thinking this could just be a consequence of not fully grasping James's role in what has really turned into a huge story for that football program.
Something I've been thinking about are the consequences of lack of practice and the consequences of interrupted or rethought routines. And I always think about, we make fun of it every year, college special teams. It's a hashtag, right? Because college special teams are generally bad, and kicks are missed, and punts are blocked, and it's every Saturday, college special teams. There it is again. And I remember years ago, I asked Jerry DiNardo, why? Why are college special teams bad? And he said, in large part, it's just a function of practice time, that there are so many things you want to do. There's so many things you want to do offensively and defensively that because you don't have them there all day, you can't have all of this time run it again, whether it's punt coverage and staying in your lanes or field goal block and who's on what team. That you have to keep things really simple, and there's so much potential for breakdown because you just don't have the practice time. So would it be wrong to think that the NFL, it might be bad this year? That may be where we see it. That may be the first aspect to go because things are so different and interrupted and you're prioritizing other things. Is it possible that we're going to have like COVID special teams in the NFL?
That would be quite the hashtag, Dan. You're welcome to get that ball rolling.
Thank you. Thank
you. It's an interesting point. And one thing, too, is when we talk about special teams, we're always talking about those three or four rookies that just make the team because of what they can bring to special teams. You're talking about your backup inside linebackers, backup corners, safeties, maybe a wide receiver, a running back. And these are guys who didn't really play special teams in college. This is the guy who was an inside linebacker for a Power 5 school and had 120 tackles and didn't have to play special teams. So there is that transition that you're losing out on because those guys are the ones that need to know all these really specific details to special teams, and there's only so much you can learn from being on Zoom. And you've been at these practices, Dan. You know how much time the teams do spend on special teams in a normal practice, but Matt said to us yesterday, the biggest thing he's worried about is how many reps his offense has missed out on. I mean, they have a quarterback competition to figure out. The one thing that is Bears specific to this conversation is they have a pretty veteran special teams group right now. I mean, yes, they did lose Nick Kwiatkowski, who was kind of a big part of that. But Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, Sheriff Manis has been here since the Lovey days. You look at Cordell Patterson, Tariq Cohen, obviously, from a return standpoint. They bring in a veteran like Jordan Lucas, who that's kind of what he did at Kansas City with Dave Tobe, so he understands Chris Tabor and what he's trying to get across. So the Bears might be a little fortunate. And then they have the same punter, long snapper kicker battery right now as last year. So because of that, they might be in a situation where it could be not as much of a drop-off just because they have a lot of guys who understand what Chris Tabor wants and kind of have a good feel for the scheme and what they're doing. But for those three or four rookies who are going to be a part of it, like a guy like Travis Gibson, your number four mm-hmm. outside linebacker right now, he's going to be probably expected to do some special teams work. If any undrafted rookie is going to make the team, Kendall Wilder, the fifth-round pick, these are the guys you worry about how long it's going to take them to get acclimated.
Has he answered specifically about how they're monitoring physical conditioning? Because I know I remember them saying just sort of blandly that we trust our guys to stay in shape. They're professionals and they know. But until you see those bodies, until you see them in the weight room, it's hard to tell the levels of out of shapeness that's going to go on here. And how much can they do, how much have they done to make sure they're not playing catch-up when it comes to their actual physical build?
Yeah, Dan, it's tricky because, as you said, there's only so much they can really do to hold these guys accountable. I mean, they're giving them plans. They're giving them workout regimens. But, you know, there are these kind of these heart monitors, and there's different things that these guys can wear that track what they're doing. And I don't know if the Bears, like how the Bears are using that, if that's kind of one of their ways they're doing accountability. I know everybody is well aware what the conditioning test is for training camp. I was talking to Dieter Eilen, who's one of their undrafted rookies from Yale, and he said, you know, every day he's going to a local high school field down the street from where he's been staying, and he practices the conditioning test. But again, the I don't know if the Bears are actually tracking to make sure he is doing that. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, Matt Nagy said it yesterday, the injuries is going to be the biggest part of this. When they get to training camp, they're really going to have to be careful about not ramping up too quickly, because that's when you're going to get those torn ACLs. That's when you're going to get some of those soft tissue injuries, is when guys are just like, we're finally playing football under the guise of the coaches and the strength staff. So that's kind of the biggest thing. I mean, the flip side, you miss out on that awful, horrific spring injury where a guy is lost for the season before he even goes to training camp. But making sure these guys are still in shape through July or into August is going to be, you know, one of the most important parts that these guys have to deal with.
Has the quarterback competition begun? Were they quote unquote competing in how they were responding to stuff on the board or with any of the virtual reality, or, you know, who's the open receiver on this play? When do you get rid of the ball? What are you seeing? What are you reading? That kind of thing that's been done virtually.
So I had that same thought, and Matt had told us a couple weeks ago, you know, I think his line was, you can't hold a quarterback competition over Zoom, which, you know, on its face, you get that. But one of the things I asked him yesterday about Mitch specifically was, I'm trying to get at, what are you seeing from him in these film sessions that maybe is different than last year? Because we all remember last year, it seemed like everything was, at this time, he was doing everything right, and it didn't translate to the field the way they wanted. So I was just kind of curious, like, are there things he's doing in these Zoom sessions where he's seeing open receivers, he's reading the coverage that you're throwing at him on tape differently? And the way Matt responded, I think half of it was he doesn't necessarily want to talk about what's going on in those meetings, but I do think the other half, there's some real validity to the fact that until they can see how they run that play in practice, they just can't tell. Like he could have said, I just can't give you an answer to that, because if he says it, if he sees it in the film room, they still want to see them do it in practice. The interesting thing about what Mitch Trubisky has going for him right now is just by being here and having these throwing sessions with a few of his teammates, is he's able to see this route that they learn or they install during their Zoom sessions, then go to work out with Allen Robinson and Demetrius Harris and Tariq Cohen, run the routes, and then go back and offer feedback. But the Bears, I don't know if they're filming these sessions so they can give them back to the Bears. I'm not sure, even sure if that's allowed. But you know, those are things the coaches can't see, so they're not able to do this. Okay, we saw that you can do it in the film room. Great. Are you able to do it in live action in the field? And that's the thing that they really feel like they need to kind of answer that who's in the lead when it comes to the film room question.
Where are they having these workouts?
I'm not sure. I think so. There, you know, somebody posted an Instagram, you know, Dan, in this day and age, we're all just trying to like pick out these clues from social media. So I want to say it was Allen Robinson might have posted an Instagram where they were at an indoor facility in one of the northern suburbs. So all the guys live up here up near Lake Forest. So I think they're finding, fields, or there might be an indoor turf facility that they've been able to find their way into. So it's just, you know, it's a group of maybe five or maybe a couple more, depending on the day. But they're finding time to figure it out and have these sessions.
Yeah, one of the outdoor fields, that'd be fun. I mean, if you're a kid, if you can ferret out where they are, how quickly things spread, word of mouth, or somebody just with a phone, like, hey, wait a second, I think that's Allen Robinson down there. There'd be some guerrilla reporting we could get.
It would be. And yesterday, Eddie Pinheiro told us the exact park that he goes to three times a week in Miami. So I do wonder if there's some kids in Miami who can't wait to go watch Pat O'Donnell and Eddie Pinheiro kick footballs from Moore Park in Miami, Florida.
Kevin Fishbane, thank you very much, man.
All right, take care, Dan.
Next up, his colleague from The Athletic, Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs. He was on the conference call with Theo Epstein yesterday. It's draft night. The Cubs and the Sox are going to be drafting players. And it's very different because there it's only going to be five rounds, and they haven't had the opportunity to scout these guys in quite the same way. But we'll have some new players to talk about in these respective organizations, and we'll be talking to people who are affiliated with the respective organizations in Sahadev Sharma and then Steve Stone after that. So baseball talk is coming up on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Just whenever you hear people talk about Ricky Henderson, they talk about him in this larger-than-life kind of way, like, similar to Michael Jordan. It's the same thing if you ever come across anyone in baseball who was teammates with Bo Jackson. It's like, yeah, I was teammates with hundreds and hundreds of guys, but there was only one, Bo Jackson. I like hearing about players who fall into that category.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your radio.com sports minute, sponsored by Fisher Investments, helping people achieve a comfortable retirement for over 40 years. For our weekly deep dive into iconic sports movies, we decided to analyze Eddie, the 1996 film where Whoopi Goldberg, a diehard fan, takes over as head coach of the Wobegon Knicks. Look, I'm not sure how Eddie thinks she can get away with taking a timeout in the middle of a crucial game against the Hornets. She's a good coach, but it's a win and in playoff type game. You're lecturing owner Wild Bill Burgess about loyalty of Knicks fans? Look, unfortunately, Eddie, that's a technical. That's free throws. That's killing the momentum of your team and possibly losing the game on purpose so that the team doesn't move. I hate to say it, it's coaching malpractice by Eddie in this spot. There's no other way to put it. This is Damon Amendolara.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
So the weather is just all over the place lately, right? One day it's hot, and the next day it's windy. For a while. It's like, make up your mind already. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
There's a lot of unknown in the world, but one thing is always certain. Cash is king. And there's never been a better time in history for a cash out refinance. Imagine dropping your mortgage payment a couple $100 a month, skipping 2 full months of mortgage payments, paying off all your high interest rate credit card debt, and filling up your savings account with cash. Get pre-approved for your cash out refinance today. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
1-877 Cars for Kids, KARS Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. KARS Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
When it's 3 p.m., Jess and Renee both want an afternoon treat. So they go to McDonald's for icy cool frozen drinks and Minute Maid slushies. Only Jess's favorite is frozen Coke, while Renee's is pink lemonade slushie. But it's cool. They respect each other's choice. It's not just a drink. It's a McDonald's drink.
Now get a medium frozen Coke or Fanta for $1.59 or a medium Minute Maid slushy for $2. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Coca-Cola, Fanta, and Minute Maid are registered trademarks of the Coca-Cola Company.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window, and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
With the brand new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone ever on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming,
hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for just $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires support and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Boy, things have gotten really weird.
Yeah, it almost seems like every day you don't know what to expect. So we are going to try and help get you through it.
I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson, and we're the hosts of the new podcast, Coronavirus Daily. We bring in some of the top experts all around the world to ask the questions that you have.
Because we are all in this together, and you know what? We are all going to survive this together.
Again, Coronavirus Daily on the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
My little brother Gavin was killed in a car crash in Knox County.
But Gavin was not known to wear a seatbelt. And the truck rolled 3 times. And when it flipped, he was ejected from the vehicle. At approximately 12:02, he didn't make it.
Imagine leaving life at the age of 27. It's not fair that I don't have my brother anymore. If you care about the people around you, tell your loved ones to put their seatbelts on. You can learn more about Gavin at lifeordeathillinois.com.
If you're in pain and want to try a CBD product, only two questions matter. Is it safe and will it work? True Relief is the only CBD company that grows its own hemp, the world's only farm-to-consumer all-natural pain relief lotion. Only True Relief has been reviewed by the DEA, presented to the FDA, and is right now part of a clinical study at NCAA member schools. So yeah, for safe relief with no THC, the only answer is True Relief. Text RELIEF to 31996 to order your bottle today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Theo Lastrom, for me, when I saw Anthony Rizzo's picture yesterday, I had to text him immediately and try to shame him a little bit because he looks amazing. My goal, because you and I are the old guys now, was to break even, right? To come out of the quarantine, at least physically, you know, on par with where I was when I went in. You're looking good. Do you feel like you're going to make that goal?
Well, before I talk about myself, I got to comment on Riz. Kudos for losing the 25 pounds. You do look great, but you're the only guy in America who could lose 25 pounds, get in great shape, and still have handlebars and a gut. I mean, what's with that? It's just that's genetics or something. Clean it up a little bit.
That's Theo Epstein shading Anthony Rizzo for what is a more in shape dad bod. He's right. He's still got those love handles, a little bit of a gut, even though he lost 25 pounds.
You're the only guy in America who could lose 25 pounds, get in great shape, and still have handlebars and a gut.
I don't know if he's the only guy, but he might be the only guy in the Cubs. That was with Lenny Casper on Marquee Network, Theo Epstein. We heard from him earlier. This is one of the guys on the conference call yesterday who was talking to him. He covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He's on Twitter, at Sahadev Sharma, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you, Sahadev?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, I got a kick out of it yesterday when you transposed a couple words and then put them back in order in your question to Theo Epstein, where you were talking first. You almost said former black players, and then you changed it back to black former players, because I was about to think, well, wait a second, someone ceased being black at some point? That's an interesting coup.
Yeah, no, I caught myself. Luckily, I said it. I was like, wait a second, no, they're still black. Gotta rephrase this in some way.
What did you make of the way Theo handled some of those things yesterday? I know it was the audio quality was obviously better when he spoke to Marquee Network, but I do think what he said in large part was introspective and important.
Yeah, no doubt. It was hugely important. He was clearly prepared. I mean, he opened it with his own statement, so I followed up, and a couple other questions were made on the same topic. And he was clearly prepared to answer them. He had things on his mind that he wanted to share. I thought that was pretty clear. I can't express enough how important it is for someone like him to speak up. Like, it's an important, impactful voice in the game. And he's right. Silence is not acceptable anymore, and people need to speak up. And it's, you know, black players need to have their voice heard. White players need to be their allies. Executives need to look at themselves and say, why are we hiring people that look like me? And I was pleased to hear Theo say that, because I, you know, there are a lot of things I agree with Theo Epstein about, and the way he sees the game and how he builds a team, I understand it. I've often disagreed with him on diversity issues in baseball. I don't think he took them as seriously as they needed to be taken in the past, and I don't think that I don't want that to sound as like he was ignoring them, but I think he clearly sees that it's a much bigger issue that he can be a huge part of solving if he really puts it at the forefront.
One of the guys that he hired who maybe reminds him of him, who looks like him and sounds like him, is Dan Kantrovitz, who is now in charge of a draft for the first time as the Cubs are drafting 16th. And it's been fascinating to read in your reporting how transparent they've been about the methods that they're using, about how they're doing what they're doing without revealing anything about who their choice may be. As you've talked to him and to others, what have you gleaned about how they may be leaning tonight?
Yeah, I don't think there's any lean in the sense like we're going for the raw upside high school bat or we want the polished college pitcher. I don't think there's a lean in that direction. I think Patrick had some names in a piece today that I think are pretty relevant. We kind of did some reporting on that and made sure that not to include, you know, any crazy names that they're not considering, but also guys that they're, you know, that are kind of at the heart, the core of what they may do. I've asked around and they don't seem to say, I'm not finding any consistency in the sense that we're looking for this type of player. They're very open, and the type of player that they're looking at, even if you look at all the mocks, and a lot of those are pretty educated. There, a lot of people are getting a lot of good information, and you're seeing high upside college bats, you know, pitchers, college pitchers, high school pitchers, and high school bats. So there's no rhyme, there's no consistency there, right? Because they're keeping they're being very open minded about this, and they're not saying we need contact oriented college bat, right? Like, you know, they used to like focus in on certain attributes, certain types of players, and I think right now the system is not where it needs to be, so you can't really limit yourself, especially like that at a point like this. I mean, just think about like maybe like the Ian Happ pick, right? That was in their minds at that point in time, that was a guy that could get to the majors quickly, but also be a really good trade piece in their minds. Obviously, he hasn't been traded and didn't work out exactly in that manner, but this was a guy that was supposed to move quickly and be and also be someone that could almost immediately intrigue opponent or potential trade partners.
I always get back to the Kyle Schwarber scouting story and what I had heard from people about the role that their computer system, the Ivy system, played in the scouting of Schwarber, in that they saw him, he was on their radar screen, but it was the computer algorithm that flagged him as under-scouted, under-attended, and they said, well, wait a second, the computer was sort of flashing, saying, hey, you're based on what the inputs have gone in and what you said you want in a player, the kinds of things you look for, get more eyes on him, because you're underrating him, essentially, is what the system told them. And it was, they decided after they went back and looked more, and it was probably right. And that's just part of what they do. And obviously they can overrule, you know, HAL the computer if they want. But I'm wondering how that's changed with so much less to input, with stuff that just isn't happening, that element of it, in some ways flying more blindly and really having to trust some of what they can see on tape and trust some of the stuff where you don't have some of these fail-safe mechanisms in place.
Well, first of all, you mentioned kind of like the Ivy system, and that I believe that they've kind of they have R&D where they want it, in a sense that it's been a process over the past decade since Theo and company came in, really getting research and develop updated and to the point where it's a, you know, fully functioning and really integrated into all their different departments. And I think R&D is working really well with Kantrowitz. He's someone with that very good R&D background. He can do that stuff on his own almost. So he's got that nice combination of being able to scout and to also work hand in hand with R&D. You're right. I mean, they don't have the in-person evaluation that they would have in years past, but I think they're kind of spinning it in a positive in the sense that they've spent a lot of time getting to know these players. They've interviewed over 150 players, via Zoom or Microsoft Teams, and those interviews have been really productive. I've talked to agents whose players were interviewed by them, and they had great things to say. They said that the Cubs were one of the top 2-3 teams that impressed them, that really engaged them. They're doing things like having, if it's a pitcher, Craig Breslow, director of pitching, is there, and he's part of the call, and they're going over specific at bats. Okay, what was your thought process during this at bat? What pitches were you thinking of throwing? Okay, we're done with breaking that down. Here are our thoughts on your mechanics, and here's what we see with your mechanics, and how we can help this part. And here's how we work with your player development. Here's an app that we've created. Why don't you take a look at it? And here are the things that you'll be able to do remotely. Here are the things that we plan to do once we can work directly with you, all these different things. And they're really getting engaged with them. And the communication apparently was just brilliant and just really effective. And part of this is a recruiting pitch right now, because kids are going to consider going to college more. Kids are going to consider sticking in college. So all of that matters right now. And if a team impresses you a little bit more, maybe that helps if you're, aren't drafted in the first five rounds and you make the decision, I want to play pro ball, maybe you lean towards the Cubs because what they showed you for the potential of player development was really impressive.
Zada, before we let you go, I want to bring up something that's happening on Sunday night. And it is going to be the airing of a documentary called Long Gone Summer, and it's the story of the 1998 home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. And we're actually going to be doing a post-game show right here on The Score when that concludes. It's going to be Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Bruce Levine are going to be available to talk about it live and interact with the audience. But I've seen it. I was able to get a screener copy because we were going to be talking with the director at 11 o'clock on Friday. And I'm interested to know how this is going to affect the relationship between the Cubs and Sammy Sosa, because one thing it succeeds in doing, it's a really good movie. I'm going to be writing a review and finish up today at noon, that it makes all of the bad blood seem kind of silly. It makes it in retrospect, 20 years later, even as poorly as things ended and as egotistical and sort of annoying and vainglorious as Sammy Sosa could be, with all this hindsight, don't you think it's inevitable that at some point the Cubs are like, yeah, whatever, it's just baseball and let's have a day?
Yeah, I think a lot of fans have felt that way for years now. We did a quick poll on that, and I think we had 2,500 respondents. And is respondents a word? We had 2,500 responses and it was overwhelmingly people wanted Sammy back. And I think it makes all the sense in the world. It just seems like there's an easy answer here. I know that, Tom Ricketts wants some sort of acknowledgement. I don't know exactly what he wants. If it's a private apology, a public statement, whatever it is. He wants something. I don't know how much that's really required. I don't know. That's up to him. It's his team. He gets to decide those things. But I agree. I agree that it's time to just end all this nonsense. Sammy was a legend in this town. He carried the team for years. People cared about the Cubs and baseball again because of what Sammy Sosa did. Yes, that era is tarnished. We all understand that. But it's also, I think, many people have kind of moved past that. It's just time to move on and let's forget about these things, or at least to make up with these things and just kind of move forward. It feels like we're dwelling on something that doesn't need to have that much time spent on it, stressing out about it, as far as I'm concerned.
Zada, thanks, man. Continued good health to you.
All right, thank you. You too. Take care.
So Hadev Sharma of The Athletic. Next up, Steve Stone. We'll talk about the White Sox. They're drafting too. Find out who he thinks they're going to take. That's coming up on The Score.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment is brought to you by Papa John's.
We're your locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer, your store for quality with brilliant and durable paints in a variety of sheens and thousands of colors. Your store for service with advice for contractors and homeowners. We're your local experts, and we're here to help with all your painting projects. Benjamin Moore stores are now open and following state guidelines to ensure a safe shopping experience. Or you can choose color from your couch when you download the new Color Portfolio app. Visit BenjaminMoore.com to find a store in your neighborhood.
If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local mortgage professionals. Today, meet Gina, global hotel chain executive whose kitchen was outdated when she moved into her home 20 years ago. So she called to do a cash-out refinance to renovate her kitchen and build an emergency fund. Team Hochberg helped Gina secure a cash-out refinance to access $70,000 of her home's equity and gave her a full closing cost credit. Thankfully, Gina's job is safe for now, and she's in the process of redesigning and renovating her kitchen while putting $20,000 into an emergency fund. So if you'd like to see if Team Hochberg could restructure your mortgage to help you gain access to your home's equity to remodel, build an emergency fund like they helped Gina, or lower your monthly payments to ease the economic challenges caused by coronavirus, call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Team Hochberg's helped thousands of Score listeners, but they can't help if you don't call 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com. Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 1124061.
We're back with coverage from the championship game. At the plate for the Mr. and Mrs. T Bloody Mary Mix All-Stars is the power-hitting Bold and Spicy. On base is the well-mixed combo of original, horseradish, and fiery pepper, who's been absolutely on fire this season. It's Mr. and Mrs. T's robust team of flavor, handcrafted Bloody Mary champions. This baseball season, draft your perfect Bloody Mary lineup by recruiting the best. Pick up Mr. and Mrs. T's Bloody Mary Mixes, available at Kenwood Liquors.
Hi, it's Mully here. If your deck is looking a little beat up and worn out, it's time to visit TimberTech.com. Instead of going through all the time, money, and frustration of replacing your old one, resurfacing your deck with TimberTech will make it look brand new. Visit TimberTech.com to request a free sample or use the online design tool. For help getting started, you can also email your local team at ChicagoDecks@TimberTech.com. Better tech, better deck, TimberTech. Go against the grain.
Hyundai has always had your back, and now Hyundai is also looking out for your pocketbook. Introducing Hyundai Complimentary Maintenance. 3 years or 36,000 miles of coverage that includes all basic maintenance. Hyundai, the longer you look, the more there is to like.
Lease the 2020 Sonata for $179 a month for 36 months with $3,379 due at signing. See your local Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealer or visit buyhyundai.com today. Offer ends June 30th, 2020. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Let's keep talking baseball with our friend Steve Stone. It's been too long since we have talked to him. He is on Twitter, at Steve Stone, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you been, Stoney?
Oh, things are okay here in Arizona, like everybody else, trying to get through this, and get back to some semblance of a baseball season, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. Nobody quite knows exactly what that's going to be.
I just saw this cross just now, and some sad news. One of your former teammates, Claudel Washington, has passed away. And I believe you guys were on the 78 White Sox together.
Yes.
And I would love to say that I was a huge Steve Stone fan, but I really enjoyed watching Claudel Washington play, man.
He was a pretty good player. I mean, he could really hit. I just remember he had about the broadest shoulders I had ever seen at the time. And, was not a particularly good outfielder, but a really good hitter. I mean, he was a good hitter wherever he went. And obviously, when one of your teammates passes, it's kind of a somber day. I liked him. I liked him a lot. I thought he was a pretty good guy.
Yeah, two-time All-Star, and because of the problems on defense, I believe it was one of those old-fashioned bedsheet signs that somebody held up in the outfield that says Washington slept here.
Well, we had Ralph Garr on one side of the equation and Claudel on the other side, which is why Chet Lemon probably lost about 3 years of his career running hither and fro.
Yeah, the Roadrunner was he fast, but tended to wait for a while until he figured out where the ball was going before he took off after it, right?
Yeah, I remember Ralph Garr on line drive in Baltimore. He broke straight back toward the wall. He ran straight back in. The ball fell exactly where he was standing. Had he stood there, it would have hit him right in the chest. But that was Ralph. Ralph could really hit. Ralph was another one of those guys that could really hit.
How are the White Sox handling this draft? They have the 11th pick and an opportunity for some real value here, and nobody seems to have any clue if it's going to be college, high school, pitcher, position player.
No, I don't think anybody has a real good idea until they see how it plays out because, first of all, there's only five rounds. I mean, this is completely different than anything that has gone before it, and I think lots of things at this point are pretty different than anything has gone before it. But what people talk about, perhaps, is if there's a really good catcher available at that spot, they might go to that one, but you know, there's a might go, there's mock drafts. Everybody's got a different opinion of what's going on. But I think in the grand scheme of things, although you'd like to think this was a critical pick, there are so many other pressing issues as far as baseball is concerned that I won't say it's on the back burner because, you know, for the scouts and for the front office and for guys who tend to the minor leagues and, you know, for guys like Chris Getz and what they do, this is pretty important stuff. But, I think that there's other things that people are really concerned about. And, you know, I'm thinking probably if there is a really top-of-the-line catcher, that's probably the pick they'll make. But I don't know. I don't know any more than anybody else about that.
Yeah, the catchers that are on the list, there's a high school catcher who is named Tyler Soderstrom out of Turlock High School of California. And Patrick Bailey is the college catcher out of NC State who's on the list as well that I'm looking at here in the Tribune. But again, it's hard to tell. And look, we don't even know in a normal year with a baseball draft because we haven't seen these people play. There hasn't been that much out there. And let alone in a year where the teams themselves are trying to figure out how to scout them.
Well, there's another factor also when you talk about a high school player. In years past, if you were going to draft a high school player up very high in the first round, it was a question of how much money you're going to give him to stop him from going to college. And now with the restrictions on the bonuses, I don't know if you can buy him out of college at this point. You know, you get a really good high school player who looks at what he can make in this particular draft, thinking that this might be a one-off, and then he says, you know what? That 4-year scholarship too, and pick your, you know, top of the line baseball program. That's looking pretty good to me, because after 3 years, if I'm really good, I will dwarf what they're going to give me now. I mean, that's one thing that will come up for a lot of high school players.
Talking with Steve Stone on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and I mentioned in the previous segment that I've had an opportunity to screen the documentary Long Gone Summer that is going to debut on ESPN 8 o'clock Chicago time on Sunday. You're a big part of it, Stoney. Your voice is heard a lot as the 1998 season is reminisced, and the way they contextualize everything that I guess I knew it, but I didn't really think about the fact that Harry Carey had just died. Like the season began at home with the emotional tribute, the sort of the memorial to Harry Carey. and everything, all the emotion there. And that's, you know, Kerry Wood's 20 strikeout game. And then out of nowhere, just as June hits, out of nowhere, this happened. And we hear your descriptions and we hear you as part of this shortly after we hear swung on, belted. And when you think about it right now, how do you remember that season?
I remember it as being a wonderfully exciting year. You know, they weren't thinking about steroids at that point. They weren't thinking about who did what and when did they do it. What they were thinking about was a guy in St. Louis, a giant of a man, hitting a lot of home runs. He had a history of hitting a lot of home runs. And a guy about, maybe 300 miles to the north, a Latino outfielder who had hit a lot of home runs but was probably half the size of Mark McGwire, and that was Sammy Sosa. And they started to take off, and then it became an unbelievable chase. And the best thing that happened was, and a lot of people have to realize the context to which 98 happened. Yes, look, Harry passed away. It was around Valentine's Day of that year, and Chip Carey and I, for the first time in Miami, started to broadcast a game. And, you know, it was something that was really interesting, getting to learn him, getting to learn what he did, because I had never worked with him before. And he was supposed to be the guy who did the middle innings on the road. That was what he was supposed to do. Didn't quite work out that way. And so here we are, getting a resurgence of baseball, Dan. You know, 94 in the strike, and I hope some lessons are to be learned looking back at 94 on both sides of this negotiating equation. We lost a franchise in Montreal. It was a wonderfully exciting season that was shaping up to be perhaps, again, no one will ever know, no one could ever tell, it shaped up maybe Montreal and the White Sox would play in the World Series. And the folks in Montreal had a terrific team, and the White Sox had a terrific team. Nothing was quite the same in baseball until 1998. And this home run chase rejuvenated the game, brought back a lot of fans to the game. It was captivating. And it was an unbelievable experience to be right in the middle of it, immersed on a daily basis into something that became a legend in baseball. And forget what came afterward. Let's just deal with 98. We had a guy in Mark McGwire who, at a time, and people forget this, Mark McGwire said, you know, I feel like a caged animal. I'm taking batting practice. They let all these people come down and watch me hit. I feel like an animal in the zoo watching these people. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take batting practice inside. That's what he was saying. And he didn't appear to be very happy with what was going on. He wasn't embracing this with a great deal of enthusiasm. And I think somebody got to Mark and said, hey, look, if you can, take a look at 300 miles to the north. And take a look at that guy up there, that guy named Sosa. Every day he's got a big smile on his face. Every day he talks about how wonderful this is. Every day he relishes in this chase. And every day what he says is, don't talk to me about this. Mark McGwire's the man. Talk to Mark McGwire. And in Sammy's own way, what he was trying to do was take the pressure off himself and throw it on Mark McGwire. Nobody realized that Sammy was pretty shrewd when it came to public relations. I know he didn't do all these things right, but he did a lot of things right. And this is one of the things he did right. So here's Sammy embracing it, sprinting around the bases, engaging the fans on a daily basis with a gigantic smile on his face and literally relishing every minute of that chase. And here's another guy not real happy in St. Louis. Well, the public relations weren't particularly good, and then Mark McGwire started to embrace it. Someone said, I think it's best if you really start to enjoy this because it could very well turn out to be historic. And that's exactly what happened. And then there was a byplay over the 300 miles between Sammy and Mark. And then there were the games where they went head-to-head in the same game. And each and every one of those was an epic confrontation. Then there was, you know, there was home run number 62 in St. Louis, that line drive by Mark McGwire that barely cleared the wall. I mean, just some exciting things. And watching Big Mac land up there, because McGwire, one of the few guys who could actually get it up that far, it was something. Packed stadiums everywhere we went, some to cheer on Sammy, some to cheer on Mark. And when we played head-to-head, it was really an enchanted experience.
What I needed to be reminded of, too, was how out of nowhere Sosa came. Because McGwire had hit 58 the year before in 1997. Say, well, look, this is obviously, this is possible. He hit 58. Sammy only had 36 home runs in 1997. This was set up from the beginning for it to be McGuire and Ken Griffey Jr., who had hit 56 home runs of his own. It was not supposed to be Sammy Sosa. And this was, and the fact that, that everybody got what they wanted. You know, they got this home run chase for the record, but no one saw Sosa supplanting Ken Griffey Jr. as the other combatant.
Well, I think one of the names that probably won't be mentioned, obviously I haven't screened it ahead of time, but one of the names that won't be mentioned was a fairly obscure, although I liked him, so he wasn't obscure to me, a hitting coach by the name of Jeff Pentland. Do you remember Jeff Pentland?
I do remember Jeff Pentland, yes.
Okay, well, Jeff Pentland took Sammy Sosa. At one point, you can check it out, Sammy, I believe, against Dave Burba was something like 0 for 27 with 26 strikeouts. And that's because
Dave Burba.
Dave Burba. And the reason is Dave Burba threw nothing but high fastballs. And Jeff Pentland took Sammy and said, look, if you're going to be a hitter, I'm going to give you a toe tap, which is going to keep you back and allow you to hit high fastballs, because Sammy, his whole career, couldn't hit him at all. If you threw a fastball above the waist, if it had anything on it, like, you know, by today's parlance, it was 94, 95 miles an hour or higher, Sammy had zero chance of hitting it. And Pentland gave him this toe tap, and it was that toe tap that Sammy parlayed into this home run chase. And he really, you know, who knows how much money Sammy made. You could probably look it up. But he owes a whole lot of that to Jeff Pentland. A lot of people don't know about that, but that was a defining moment in the chase for Sammy Sosa. He started to hit high fastballs. He started to hit everything. And quite obviously, he was pretty strong. I mean, you take a guy who came into the league, and the White Sox remember Sosa pretty much, you know, when he came over from Texas. Sammy weighed 155 pounds when he came into the league. 155 pounds. When he was hitting for the Cubs, coming to spring training, he showed up at 240 pounds, 85 pounds of muscle. Now, there are varying philosophies about how he got that way, but I'm thinking it wasn't intense days in the gym entirely.
No, and the film deals with that eventually, unflinchingly as well.
Yep.
And I was concerned about how they were going to get there, but they do deliver the goods at the end to square the circle in that regard and put it all in context. Anyway, Stoney, great catching up, man. Glad you're well.
To you too, Dan. Take care of yourself and be safe and stay healthy. And let's hope that somewhere in this next week, because I believe this is the defining week as far as baseball is concerned, somewhere in the next week we will get to a resolution and we will find some semblance of a season. I think a whole lot of people are rooting for that.
That's my hope as well. I think it's going to be the owners coming off some intractable positions if they want to get that done. Steve Stone, one of our guests today, the list that also included Kevin Fishbane, Sahadev Sharma, and Mike Florio. Thanks to Jay Zawoski for producing. Thanks to Ray Diaz for all that he does. Also Mitch Rosen, Shane Reardon, and everything it takes to run a sports radio station remotely from these various Hyundai Score studios in our various basements and closets, or in my case, the sitting area off the master bedroom. The studio sans pants. They're not allowed. I made that rule in these particular studios. Your pants are not only not required, it is mandatory that you remove them before entering the studio. So just know that if you're ever going to be broadcasting from here. So keep doing what you're doing when it comes to keeping the curve as flat as possible so we can avoid anything awful happening. I know it's getting confusing to figure out to whom to listen, but the settled science is pretty solid on this as far as wearing your mask over your nose and mouth, otherwise you're not wearing a mask. Staying away from people, washing your hands. I know we've got some caution fatigue is the psychological term, but we got to try to fight against that because COVID is still out there. But take a walk, find some ways to entertain yourself and stay mentally healthy. Lawrence Holmes is coming up. We are going to talk again at 9 o'clock. Full show coming your way tomorrow. Have a good day.
Hey, it's Mike Mulligan.
And David Haw.
We know a lot of you are not in your cars for the daily commute.
That means no car radio, but hey, no problem. Listen to us at home, on your radio, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score.
And continue to count on us for the best in Chicago sports talk. We're live, local, and we're keeping Chicago connected.
Mulligan Haw, mornings 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Chicago's number one sports station.
Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It's the witness that calls in the crime. And as you lie there awake because your bed partner is snoring so loudly that you can hear it two bedrooms away, you're a witness too. You're witnessing your partner sleeping but not actually getting rest. You're witnessing a struggle to breathe freely. But you can do something about it. We're hoping you can help us be the first to take this revolutionary step to talk to you so we can learn what you're experiencing to help you to get your snorer to realize that they do have a real problem that should be fixed for the sake of both of you. I'm Dr. Madan Kandula with Advent. We've made it easy for you to talk to a snoring and sleep apnea specialist with zero strings attached. It can definitely give us a good gauge for a plan of action to get your snorer's problem solved.